Welcome to Weigh In Sports Talk. Today is Wednesday, December 12th. Before we get started, here are a few reminders. We would love to hear from you, and here are several ways to weigh in. Call us at 646-716-5564, or join us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino, or follow us on Twitter at Weigh In Sports. Now here's your host, Brian Tarvin, and co-host, Trey Patterson. Let's weigh in.
Thank you, Michelle, for the great introduction, and welcome to Weigh In Sports Talk. We are the featured show tonight on blogtalkradio.com. Trey, how's everything going, sir? Let me bring my host in. Maybe I should work on my skills a little better. What's up, Trey?
Hey, man.
Good to have you on tonight. We have a good show scheduled. A lot of action going on in the world of sports this week. Hope you're having a good week.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Ready to, you know, a lot of coaching news. In fact, one just announced recently at Texas Tech, a lot of NFL stuff going on, some big baseball moves, NBA, I mean, who knows, man. There's all kind of stuff going on.
I know. We're going to break down some coaching moves tonight like we talked about. We're going to break down our top NFL games. We're going to go over the Monday night games. And just hit some college football and some general current events, Trey. But when you said Texas Tech, it triggered me with Tommy Tuberville, Trey. Interesting, Tommy Tuberville. You know, everybody loves Tommy Tuberville. at dinner with, I think, over 10 recruits, you know, recruiting them for Texas Tech, he gets up during dinner, he leaves, he never comes back. He takes another job. What kind of person would leave kids that came all the way to visit his school and not even say bye?
This adds to the Tommy Tuberville lore of just, you know, an absolute, he is the epitome of what really college football and really all sports have become, which is it's all about, you know, for the school, there's no loyalty, and, you know, we understand that for the coaches, there's not any loyalty either. I mean, you know, that just is the epitome of the lack of loyalty there is in sports nowadays between players, coaches, and, you know, of course, the schools themselves.
I mean, this guy is a guy that looked, when he was at Ole Miss, he told his team in the locker room after the Egg Bowl, "Hey, I'm your coach. I'm going to be your coach. I have nothing but love for you guys." Then he hops up and he goes to Auburn, takes the job there. And it's just like, I don't know what it is about him, but why does he have to do everything underhanded in the wrong way? The professional thing would be not to even answer the phone while you're entertaining recruits. Then you handle your business outside. But he told the AD the day before, you know, how happy he was and his vision for Texas Tech football and the program, and then he just leaves like that. Do you trust Tommy Tuberville, Trey?
Well, I mean, this day and age, I mean, do I think what Tommy Tuberville did was pretty dirty? I mean, if it's true, I mean, and I have heard it from a couple sources on Twitter, and, you know, you think, you know, sources on Twitter, but, you know, these are actually Twitter's breaking all the news nowadays in the sporting world. You know, it seems like this is a legitimate story, Tarvin, and if it is, I mean, this is just, be very careful with certain coaches, you know, and this is one of those coaches that if I have a program, you know, I'm going to be very careful with because, you know, there's no really loyalty there.
Well, speaking of coaches with no loyalty, Bobby Petrino was hired at Western Kentucky. I mean, are you surprised that he took a job that low, or are you surprised he didn't get offered a bigger job?
I'm not actually surprised that either one of those questions. I think that, you know, I think a lot of people took Petrino as toxic, other than actual fans who seemed to, you know, in Auburn were crying for Bobby Petrino, and I saw that. But when you're talking about actual athletic programs and how they were treating Bobby Petrino, they were treating him as toxic. They were treating him as, you know, it's too early to bring him into a major football program. There are too many questions. So, you know, this makes a lot of sense to me for Bobby Petrino to go to a school like Western Kentucky. I think he'll go there, and if he proves himself again, which, you know, there's no reason to think that he won't, Tarvin, and when it comes to wins and losses. And, you know, obviously we're going to have to see if there's any more character flaws that pop up. But, You know, if he does well, I think in 2 years you could see him back in a major program.
Well, Jonathan in the chat room says Bobby Petrino says he'll be at Western Kentucky for a while. Yeah, I would believe what Bobby Petrino is saying. I think what the AD did at Western Kentucky is he lost a great coach. He knows he has talent at that school, so you need to bring somebody in. And he realizes that this is a short-term fix. You know, he realizes that Petrino will be there 1-2 years tops, and it'll be over. What he's trying to do is give him a year or two to find the right coach, you know, to take over Bobby Petrino. So I think it's a very smart move by Western Kentucky and a very smart move by Bobby Petrino, because it does show, you know, he's more humbled now, maybe taking a job beneath him. So I think this is a perfect move for Bobby Petrino, and I think in the long run he'll be back in the SEC competing for SEC championships.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. I don't know, you know, if the SEC, you have to see what jobs are open. I think a minimum of 2 years. I mean, I really think that's legitimate for him. I don't think this is a 1 year and done. I don't think he's not a guy who's gonna be worried about fulfilling his contract either, but he's gonna have to wait until some of that radioactivity comes off of him. And I think about 2 years and you're gonna see some programs willing to take a chance on him if he does well.
Exactly. And I want to say hi to several in the chat room while people's coming in. We have Jason and Sonia Minson, Jonathan Miklos, Stephen Nall, and they're keeping coming in. So we'll introduce them as they come in. And remember, the call-in number tonight, 646-716-5564. If you have questions, hit us up in the chat room or ask us on Twitter, at Weigh-In Sports. So, Trey, Monday Night Football. Are you shocked at the outcome of that game? Or matter of fact, were you shocked with the score of that game?
Well, I was actually shocked that it wasn't a very close game. I mean, I kind of expected at least a competitive game from the Texans. But leading up to it, you know, you do have to worry. And, you know, ESPN's all over this. I don't want to belabor this, you know, a lot of our, you know, fans and, you know, heard this from ESPN. But when you hear some of the Texans players talking about how critical of a game of the century, you know, you got to wonder, this is a regular season game, and, you know, this is not the game of the century. Yes, the Monday Night Football game is a big deal, but, you know, I wonder if the Texans, how this loss is going to affect them, because if they really treated this game as such a ginormous game in the history of their entire, you know, NFL existence, you know, I got to worry about their attitude and demeanor now, that they just got throttled by Tom Brady. I mean, we'll see this week, because this is one of those weeks that you'll see if the Texans really did have their back broken in that game.
Yeah, and I don't think it was the biggest, you know, game in Houston history. I think, you know, it's a regular season game. They have one loss, a great record, a great performance. You can't let one game dictate you. But if you get beat 42-14 by a team that if you want to come into this game thinking, okay, we're going to show New England, the team that's been here before, who's better now? And Tom Brady spanked them like stepchildren, Trey. And, I mean, you know, New England came in at home. They stopped the run, and that was it. You couldn't stop Tom Brady. You could not run the football. I mean, you have no chance against New England if you can't run.
Yeah, I mean, here's the real question that's going to come out of this. You know, New England clearly playing good football, and New England plays good football when they should. I mean, yeah. You look back at that loss to Arizona now, and you're like, did I even remember that when Arizona was 4-0 and they beat the Patriots? You know, but this is going to be a defining moment for the Texans because they still have, you know, the possibility for home field advantage. They still have the best record in the AFC, you know, 10-2 or 11-2, excuse me, and they have the ability to still host a playoff game, I mean, basically all the playoff games. So, we'll see what happens next this week coming up, Tarvin. I just wonder if they're going to maybe lose a couple now and lose a lot of momentum going into the postseason. And Houston doesn't have right now the team, I think, at least when it comes to what really appears, you know, when they're playing these good teams, the ability to go on the road and win a playoff game, say, in Foxborough. I don't see that going very well for Houston.
Well, I think this loss does not affect them, Trey. I think they know if they take care of business, that they're going to be the number one seed. And it's a lot different. If Houston was looking at New England trying to catch them for home field, I think this game would have meant a lot more to their psyche. But looking at it, I really think Houston realizes they can win out and they can play New England in Houston if New England even makes it that far. You never know. So I think Houston's going to be just fine. I think they will, you know, be the home field advantage. And if New England comes to Houston, you know, I like Houston in that game, Trey. And I know they just got whacked. But this game could be beneficial for them, you know, coming up in the playoffs.
Well, if they learn from their mistakes, it certainly will. You know, I think we'll see this week. You'll see this week what Texans are made out of, because if they come back and they thump, you know, their opponent, and they're gonna, you know, they're gonna be okay. But if they come back and they were to slip and lose it, you got to start worrying about them. And you know, because at that point, then they're tied with New England, and then they, you know, they lose the tiebreaker to New England, and then they're going to New England possibly in the postseason. So, you know, no slipping up from the Texans. They can't slip up at all at this point. They have to keep that home field advantage for the playoffs.
Yeah, I was watching the, you know, the pregame, and you could just see on Tom Brady's face that he knew he was about to explode, that he knew he was going to be unstoppable that night. Have you ever, Trey, looked at the demeanor of teams before the game just to see who you thought had the edge?
Yeah, I mean, I think, and like I said, when you lead up to the game and you heard the Texans talking about this game, it was almost concern. You know, this is such a big game for us. The Patriots were like, you know, it's a Monday Night Football game. We do it all the time. You know, this is, you know, no big deal. And the Texans were just very concerned about that game going in. And, you know, I keep talking about the Texans game this week, Tarvin. It's because they're facing the Colts. They're facing a division opponent. And, you know, they're at home, but, you know, the Colts are no knockover. So, you know, it's not like they go off that humiliating loss to the Patriots, and now they got the Colts coming to town.
Yeah, and, you know, New England did to the Colts, just what New England did to Houston. So if I'm the Colts, I'm coming into this game saying, you know what, we have a puncher's chance in this game because – we have Andrew Luck, and this kid has been amazing. But Trey, when Tom Brady wants to win a game, he wins a game, man. I mean, there's no stopping this guy. He is the best in the game for that reason.
Yeah, absolutely. Tom Brady is there's, you know, a lot of people who think he may be the best ever, and I don't go that far yet, Tarvin, but, I mean, Tom Brady can slice up a defense like nobody.
Yeah, he can, man. He looks like a surgeon, but – but, you know, I heard before the game Peyton Manning was asked questions about Tom Brady. Tom Brady asked questions about Peyton Manning. And, you know, they both answered the same, really, that they respect each other's work ethic and the way they do it. You look at Brady and Manning, I really, honestly, I mean, Tom Brady doesn't look tough to me. But if you watch him play, he's one of the toughest quarterbacks out there. And as the years have gone on, I've started liking Tom Brady more. I used to hate Tom Brady, Trey. And you know as well as I do, I did. But, I mean, I've earned a lot more respect over the years for him, and he just knows how to win. He knows how to make average players great. And that's kind of what Andrew Luck's doing right now in Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So I'm going to sign with New England, Trey, next week, and I'm going to be a receiver. I guarantee you I would have a touchdown every game. And then I would spike it and get penalized 15 yards.
Well, I don't know if you're going to touch down this week. We'll talk about the Patriots game coming up. It's a tough one. But, Tarvin, you want to lead us? You want to go into our NFL games?
Sure, take us.
All right. Well, you know, I put six NFL games because this point in the season, it's actually very rare for there to be six matchups with teams who are actually above 500. So, yeah, a lot of playoff implications this weekend. And so a lot of teams are going to really figure out, you know, how good they are because, you know, when you're playing playoff teams this late in the season, That's a big test. So our first game is the Steelers, who are 7-6, at the Cowboys, 7-6. What do you think? The Steelers got throttled last week, and the Cowboys won an emotional game.
Well, what I think of this game is I really think Cowboys do what Kansas City did. They were just flat after that big emotional game after losing a teammate. Now Pittsburgh comes in a must-win situation, too. Both of them are a must-win, but I like Pittsburgh in this game being on the road. I think coming back home would be the worst thing for Dallas right now. And this is a team that, trust me, that went over Cincinnati was all emotions, and Cincinnati's not that great of a team either. So, Trey, I look for Pittsburgh to be able to run the football on Dallas, and I look for Ben Roethlisberger to make some big plays extending the play.
Yeah, I mean, Dallas, you got to look at playing at home. They're 3-3 at home. They're not a very good home team. The home field advantage just doesn't exist in Dallas like it does. And there's some NFL teams that I mean, they just don't lose at home hardly. It's very tough to beat them. And Dallas just isn't one of those places. I mean, I got to think that Pittsburgh solved some of their issues from last week. I mean, getting beaten by San Diego like they did is just embarrassing. But Ben Roethlisberger's back. You know, Pittsburgh's not a very good road team either at 3-4. You know, look at all the – but they are 3-0 against the NFC. I just think there's a difference in what Pittsburgh can do this year against the NFC. And I like Pittsburgh on the road, too. I'm not sold on Dallas at home, Tarvin. Every time I seem to pick them at home, they lose. So I like Pittsburgh on the road.
All right, chat room, let us know who you like. And if you'd like to weigh in, 646-716-5564. We would love to hear from you. And I'll announce those when they come in. But, yeah, I'm going with Pittsburgh. Jonathan is going with Pittsburgh. I really do think, Trey, that death is really going to come back to get them on this game. Everybody's picking Pitt. So we have a first-timer,
yeah.
Trey. Brett Smith in the chat room. And I believe Stephen Nall is the first-timer. I can't remember, but those two are new to the chat room, Trey. So tell me about Dallas. Do you think this is going to affect them, actually, the emotions of that win and the death coming back home now?
Yeah, you know, it's always easier when you're away from the problem that you have at home to focus on, you know, the matter at hand, the job you have to do. When you're home, you know, going home every night from the, you know, Dallas practice, they have to deal with, you know, emotions and deal with those things. And, I you know, again, Dallas has been such a terrible home field advantage, and now you're dealing with this all up front and personal. I just think it is going to affect them. I mean, Tony Romo has been playing very well, let's be honest. I mean, Romo's got a lot of hate, a lot of criticism. But Romo has actually been playing pretty well. But, you know, Dez Bryant's finger, broke his finger. Is he going to play? He says he's going to play, but I'm not so sure. You know, he has been a game-changer receiver and hasn't got a lot of credit recently. I think the guy has 7 touchdowns over the last, like, 5 games or something, the most for any NFL receiver. So if Dez Bryant isn't playing, Carvin, this is going to just change the Cowboys' offense so dramatically. And I know Murray came back and all that stuff, but I just think there's too much going on in the Cowboys' camp. And the Steelers, even after getting throttled by San Diego, I like the Steelers on the road. But, you know, this is one of those games that we're going to see if Dallas is any good this year because they've been so up and down.
Trey, tell me, looking at the defense of Pittsburgh and the defense of Dallas, which defense do you see stepping up this weekend and actually, you know, possibly maybe scoring a touchdown?
You know, I do think that the Steelers' defense, I like them a little bit better, and it's because, you know, Romo can throw a lot of interceptions. I mean, look at his interception total this year. If say, Dez Bryant doesn't play or doesn't play to the level he's been playing, Romo might press. And if Romo presses or, you know, he gets down to that third receiver, you know, who knows who they have this year, as in, you know, anybody consistent for Dallas, then you could have a, you know, route problem, whatever. And I just think that that's going to be the difference in the game is, you know, a Romo fumble, a Romo interception, and a Pittsburgh defensive play.
Exactly. I'm with you. I think the Pittsburgh defense will be opportunistic this weekend. I really look, you know, for Dallas to be flat in this game, Trey. And if point spreads are what you look for, Pittsburgh on the road is a 2-point favorite over Dallas. And this is the 4:25 Eastern kickoff. So if Dallas was going to win this game, Trey, I would expect Dallas to be favored probably to 2 or 3. So something right there doesn't look right to me. So Pittsburgh's favored on the road against a team about their equal, both coming off losses. Pittsburgh coming off a big loss and Dallas a big win. So if any indications, Trey, I like Pittsburgh in this game, and it looks like everybody in the chat room is with us. So I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I can't make up any ground like this, Trey. I need somebody to go against me.
Well, maybe you'll get some in the next game because, you know, you got the Giants on the road, leading their division at 8-5. You know, they won last week. And then you got the Atlanta Falcons, who've already clinched their division already. They've wrapped it up. It's already signed, sealed, and delivered for the playoffs. They're 11-2, and they are 6-0 at home, Tarvin. I mean, can they maintain that undefeated your home record this week?
I think so, and if they're going to, what's going to have to happen? Atlanta's going to have to run the football more than like 8 times or whatever they did against Carolina. But I understand against Carolina, they got down quick, so it was hard to – they got out of their game plan. But, pray, the Giants, what have I said all season about the Giants? They're very inconsistent. And Atlanta coming off a big loss, just kind of embarrassing loss actually, getting shredded by Cam Newton. I think they actually step up and play some football. I like Atlanta to be able to move the ball on the Giants, the short passes. Tony Gonzalez plays a huge part in this, but Michael Turner gets some touches.
Yeah, I actually agree with you, Tarvin. I think Atlanta bounces back. I mean, one of the things that's different about Atlanta is they have an entirely different way they play at home. Matt Ryan is just insane at home inside the dome. Julio Jones and Roddy White and Tony Gonzalez put up ginormous numbers when they're at home. And you know, in a way, they seem to be a totally different team. I mean, yeah, they're 5-2 this year on the road, but they get embarrassed on the road. And you saw that, you know, last week, Cam Newton just opened up an entire can on them, and Cam Newton looks fantastic against that defense. Eli Manning has been, you know, he's struggled a lot on the road, and you just see a lot of these quarterbacks just seem to have their Jekyll and Hyde on the road and at home. So I've seen the New York Giants lay some eggs this year on the road, and, you know, I've seen Atlanta just dominate folks. So, you know, nothing in this game shows me that the Atlanta Falcons are going to struggle in this game. I think they're going to be a very close game. But I think, you know, Roddy White and Julio Jones put up some touchdowns, and the Falcons win this game.
Well, Jonathan in the chat room says that Atlanta's very overrated, the Giants going to win, and also that this is the time of year the Giants play, you know, football. He's right. But the thing is, I don't know if Atlanta's overrated, but Trey, agree or disagree, this could be the biggest game of the regular season for Atlanta, because I'm saying it is, because if they lose this game, I really think the confidence factor goes down, and maybe those whispers come back into the Atlanta ears, you know, choking every year in the playoffs. So tell me, is this a huge game for the Falcons?
Well, I think it's a big game because, one, and I think the Giants are going to be in the playoffs. I mean, so it's an opponent that they could face again, and it's an opponent that Atlanta wants to face at home. And so if they were to get rematched, or say, you know, Atlanta right now is looking like they're going to host throughout the playoffs because, you know, they're two games up for home field advantage. This is a confidence type of game because Atlanta wants to be able to not only get home field advantage throughout the playoffs, but they want to keep that undefeated, that mentality that no one wins at the dome. And you don't certainly want to lose. I mean, if you step up again, you know, you fall up against Cam Newton on the road, you know, somebody who's not in the playoffs beat you at home, then maybe you can, you know, chalk it up for, like, you know, a fluke. But if a playoff team comes in the regular season who you may face again and beats you in your own place, and you're obviously going to lose a little bit of confidence, especially if you see them again. So I think for Atlanta, it is a big game because they want to keep that pressure on other teams, you know, saying that you can't beat the Falcons at home.
Exactly, and they have to win this game. And, Trey, we're all alone picking right now. There's nobody in the chat room picking the Atlanta Falcons. And Stephen All, you know, even though he brings up a good point about the Giants losing their last two road games, that he thinks Atlanta being unsteady the last few weeks is going to be the difference. So everybody's thinking the Giants are going to win in the chat room. But, guys, the Falcons do not lose at home in the regular season. Julio Jones, Trey, like you said, will play a huge part in this game as well. I just look for some inconsistency out of the Giants. I don't think a lot of pressure is going to be happening from their line as they usually get, because there are going to be some short passes by Atlanta. So this is going to be an interesting game. This is probably the biggest game of the week, Trey. I just wonder why you have it so far down.
Well, there's a lot of games to pick from this week, and some of these games are, you know, pretty big games. It's hard to say which one's bigger. And there's like six ties, I think, this week. But, you know, what's interesting about this game, I think it's going to be – I don't know what the over-under is, Tarvin, but it's going to be high. I think this game's going to be high score. You're going to have like a 30-27 game. I think there's going to be a lot of passing, a lot of offense in this game for sure. I mean, I think somebody in the chat room said Victor Cruz is going to have a big week. I think that's probably accurate. But I just think Julio Jones is going to be the X factor this week.
Well, I stand corrected. Sonia picked Atlanta. I apologize, Miss Sonia. Please forgive me for that mistake. Welcome in Ronnie MacArthur in the chat room. Trey, I'm seeing some new faces in the chat room, and we're very glad you guys could make it tonight and join us. Ask any questions you want. Feel free to call in 646-716-5564. So, Trey, three Atlanta, the rest Giants. So let's move on.
Yeah, I mean, again, another division rivalry coming up. The Bears are reeling, Tarvin. I mean, I don't know what has happened to them, but they're now 8-5. And they're at home, but here comes the Pack, who, you know, won two in a row. Chicago's lost two in a row. You know, so can Chicago win this game and tie for the division?
Can they? Yes. Will they? No. I like Green Bay to go on the road. I mean, Chicago's playing some bad football now, Trey. I think their confidence is terrible. And when you start losing your confidence at this time of the season, you can stick a fork in them because Chicago's done. Green Bay will have to play better defense than they've been playing, but I just don't see Chicago being disciplined enough. Brandon Marshall already out in the media again running his mouth saying how bad he hates Green Bay and he's never hated a team as much as Green Bay. So, again, why can't Brandon Marshall keep his mouth shut?
Well, I mean, let's be fair. Brandon Marshall says, you know, the word hate is strong, but he dislikes the Packers a lot. And, you know, I don't care about that kind of stuff. I mean, he's playing into the rivalry. The Chicago fans like this kind of stuff. I mean, this is the kind of attitude. You know, this is a great football rivalry, the Packers and the Bears. They've been playing for forever. But, you know, Tarvin, I kind of disagree with you a little bit. I know the Bears have looked bad, but they have looked bad a lot this year on the road. And they're 5-2 at home. They've been a different team when it comes to home. You know, Jay Cutler came back. I mean, there's still questions about his health, the whole whiplash. I think he's going to be just fine. The Packers have given up a lot of yards this year to decent quarterbacks. And I don't see, you know, Clay Matthews may or may not play, and Charles Woodson is not playing. If Charles Woodson was playing in this game, that would be a difference for the Packers. But even though, you know, Tarvin, I love the Pack. The Packers are only 3-3 at home, or excuse me, on the road. But the Packers 4-0 in their division. So they do seem to play well in the division, Tarvin. So, I mean, any chance that Chicago wins it at home? I mean, I know you're saying the Pack, but I mean, you're just kind of blowing past the Chicago playing at home in Soldier Field in November.
I know, man. It's just a feeling. I mean, just looking at it, as Sonia said in the chat room, best when they lost Urlacher, they lost their will. I mean, Urlacher was a spark of that football team, and right now, they don't have a leader, really. I mean, they have a guy, Brandon Marshall, running his mouth every day. You have Cutler, you know, pimp-slapping offensive linemen. So, I mean, I just can't pick the Bears, Trey. It's not that I dislike the Bears because I have nothing against the Bears. I don't think they'll be able to score, you know, with this Green Bay offense. And, you know, speaking of Chicago, Quinn's on the line. How's it going, Quinn?
It's going all right, but I just wanted to chime in. If the Bears don't beat themselves, I think they're going to win this game.
Okay. How would they beat themselves?
They've beaten themselves 3 times this season, not catching wide receivers, dropping passes, things like that. I mean, they really should only have 2 losses right now. They've only gotten outplayed twice. Like, they've only gotten really beaten twice. Besides that, they've beaten themselves. If they don't make mistakes, I think they should win this game.
Yeah, so tell us, Quinn, how far do you live away, you know, from Green Bay, actually?
I live, like, 2 hours.
So why are you a Bears fan and not a Packers fan?
Well, because my dad was a Bears fan, and I just got raised like that. I've been I like all pro Chicago teams, so I'm a Chicago Bulls fan, I'm a White Sox fan, and then I'm a Bears fan. But I only
and you're a Notre Dame fan. And you're a Notre Dame fan.
And Auburn.
Yep, and Auburn.
Yes, but I only live like an hour away from Chicago, so I live closer to Chicago than I do Green Bay.
All right. Well, give us the odds. Give me a, like 50-50, 60-40, the Bears winning. What is it?
I'd say right now probably 50-50.
Okay. I'm going to say 70-30. And I know Trey's picking the Bears, right?
Yeah, you know, I am going to pick the Bears. And somebody, I think it was Stephen Nall, brought up a good point in the chat room, is who in Green Bay right now without Charles Woodson can really cover Brandon Marshall? And for all the talk and all the hate that, you know, that people may have for Brandon Marshall, I mean, Brandon Marshall's been just putting up ginormous numbers this year. Even when, you know, Cutler went down, Marshall was still the guy putting up numbers. And some of the catches he's made in the last couple of weeks have just been incredible. So I think that Brandon Marshall is going to have a huge day again. You know, the Packers don't have Jordy Nelson again. And you know, I know Jennings is back, and you know Cobb has been playing well. But Jordy Nelson, you know, when he plays and is healthy, is kind of a difference maker for the Packers offense. So So I just think even with the defense, you know, problems that the Bears are having because of injuries, I think that this game, you know, with the defense the Packers have, they get exploited a little bit on the road, you know, in a cold Soldier Field. I think the Packers are going to lose a tight game here.
All right, Quinn, any final thoughts, buddy?
All right, I will.
Hey, call us back. We're on Sunday night, and with Quinn, we're going to start breaking down these bowl games, so we're going to need your expertise. And, Quinn, thanks for the call. Trey, I can't believe you're picking the Bears against me, but you know what? Everybody's got to lose here and there.
Well, you know, I mean, if I lose that pick, then I win in life because, you know, I'm a Packers fan. But, you know, I don't like this game for the Packers. You know, this is a big game for the Bears. And we'll see. I mean, we'll see. The Bears need to play very well for their playoff chances because the NFC just has so many teams, you know, log jam for the playoffs. I mean, this is just an important game for the Bears.
Well, Trey, I need to stop right quick. We actually, both of us tied and in the pick'em this past week. So Corey Bird still hasn't come on. We'll let Corey come on later in the show and make his picks. But, Trey, we defended this house, man.
Yeah. You and I did well. Despite the fact there were some upsets in the NFL last week, we still held on to the house.
Yeah, I think we were tied. But to be the man, you have to beat the man, right?
Yeah, exactly. You got to beat us. There's no ties in weigh-in sports.
And if there are ties, then they go to me. So. All right, take us on.
All right, well, our next game is another big NFL game, Parvin. Looking at the fact that the Broncos are 10-3. Peyton Manning is back on the MVP train. They're traveling to Baltimore up the road, 9-4 this year. Can the Ravens take down the Broncos and Peyton Manning's MVP? You know, he's got all this momentum toward MVP. They've won all these games in a row, but, you know, can the Ravens play well at home after they fired their offensive coordinator?
Well, I mean, the thing about Baltimore, man, and Peyton Manning, I mean, they have an interesting past. But, you know, the chat room was just talking about Ric Flair.
To be the man! You've got to be the man!
And I'm glad somebody said that. You know, I had to play a little Ric Flair tonight. So, anyway, all right, back to the game. Baltimore at home, Trey. The Baltimore Ravens, they're not the team like they have been being. And Peyton Manning is getting better and better week in and week out. Denver's defense is getting better. So, Trey, I like Denver in this game because of Peyton Manning, the way he's able to control Baltimore, the way he's able to dissect these defenses. I don't really think Baltimore has it in them, Trey, to beat Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, and I misspoke earlier. I said that Houston was two games up, I think is what I said earlier. But they're only a game up from the Denver Broncos for the home field advantage. And I think that Denver and Peyton Manning, the way that Peyton Manning focuses the team, and the way he actually is a leader in that locker room, I think he's got this team fired up, and he's telling these guys, every single one of these games matter, even though we've clinched the division, because Houston could slip up again. You know, and evidence was last week. I think it even gave Peyton Manning probably more fire, you know, for his talks to take down Houston and get home field advantage in Denver. So I think Denver is going to be playing for home field, hoping that Houston loses. So I think Denver wins this game because I just think with, you know, the whole upheaval with the offensive coordinator being fired in Baltimore and this whole, you know, who gets the ball more, Ray Rice or Joe Flacco, I just have too many questions right now. And, you know, Baltimore isn't the same team at home they used to be. So I think Denver playing as hot as they are, 8 straight wins, Tarvin, they are on fire. Peyton Manning's got these guys focused. I think it's a very close game, but I think that Denver does win this game on the road.
Well, Sonya and Jason Minson wasted no time picking Denver. It was just real quick, so I like that. Some confidence. Let's go. Corey Bird picks the Ravens to clinch the AFC North with a win. And let's see, Ravens fan Jonathan Miklos, I'm sure he's picking Baltimore. But, yeah, I mean, I think people around here understand that Peyton Manning is the real deal. And honestly, Trey, I'm very surprised that he's come back the way he has, as fast as he has. So did you expect Peyton Manning to perform like this time of season?
I thought that, you know, he was struggling in the beginning because they put a really tough schedule And that kind of came to fruition. But, I mean, I don't think any of us, at least I didn't, predict Peyton Manning to be playing at this level where, I mean, he is playing at one of the top quarterbacks, you know, in the league right now. I mean, his team is obviously rallying around his leadership. He is making his receivers and running backs so much better. Justin, you watch him when he checks down the plays, even look at reading defenses, you can tell that the running backs are in the backfield going, okay, yeah, I got this. I mean, he is just teaching all those guys so much about the game of football. And, you know, Demaryius Thomas before the season said that he didn't even run routes. He didn't even know the routes under Tim Tebow. He just ran down the field. You know, he knows his routes now, Tarvin, I can tell you that. And, you know, Eric Decker has become a really good third down and you know, touchdown, red zone type of receiver. So Denver's just getting more and more dangerous.
So tell me the Steelers and Ravens, how far are they away from each other? Baltimore, what, has a 2 or 3 game lead?
Baltimore is 9-4 and Pittsburgh 7-6, so it's a 2 game advantage for Baltimore right now.
Well, this is huge because if Denver goes into Baltimore and wins, Pittsburgh goes into Dallas and takes care of business, all of a sudden you have 1 game separating these guys. But, hey, we have a caller in queue, 309 area code, you're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
Corey. Hey, Tarvin.
Hello, sir. What's up?
Not much. I come to pick this game, actually.
All right, pick it.
I'm going with the Ravens, 27-21 in this game.
Man, Trey, he's naming a score.
Well, no, Corey, tell us why the Ravens are going to break this 8-game winning streak.
Because they have lost back-to-back games, and that hasn't happened in 3 years. And they haven't lost a home game in 3 years. This is an angry bunch. I expect this defense to come back and play hard and win this game. They don't want to keep going down in the AFC rankings. They want some home games because I don't trust this team on the road to save my life.
Well, I mean, I think, Corey, you're right about that, but you're wrong about them. They've lost a home game this year. They are 5-1 at home. But in losing their offensive coordinator, do you think they're going to have some problems with Von Miller in that defense this week?
Not at all. I think it's a huge upgrade.
All right.
Ray from Corey, man. Trey, I think he's very confident in this game, don't you?
Well, you know, it's great that he is. I mean, I just, you know, the Ravens have a shot. I mean, there's not a game on our list that is a clear outcome. I mean, that's the reason why the NFL has so much topsy-turvy parity, but you know, I mean, Peyton Manning, I just don't see a player on that defense giving him fits this week. I mean, we'll see, though. I mean, obviously, I think Von Miller is going to get a sack on Flacco, and you know, it's caused a lot of disruption. I mean, I think a lot of people haven't realized how good a year Von Miller has been having.
Yeah. And, Corey, stay right here on hold, and we'll let you pick this next game when we go over it, Trey. So I'm picking the Broncos. You're picking the Broncos. Most people are, except Corey Bird and maybe another one. So take us to the next one.
Well, our next one is the game we kind of talked about earlier, Tarvin. It's, you know, Andrew Luck and, this, you know, this really incredible season for, you know, overall first-round pick. Has this team, and this team was just abhorrent last year, and they got 9 wins. They are only 2 games back from the 11-win Texans. Does Andrew Luck keep this going? Does the Texans slip up and lose home field here? I mean, what do you think is going to happen in this game?
Every time that I think I'm watching a Colts game and I think they're beat, you know, here they come. Here comes Andrew Luck and this team that as the year goes on, Trey, they're having so much confidence in themselves that they realize no matter how far they get down, they can come back and win. And that's a very dangerous team this time of season. So I'm going to pick Houston in this game, but it would not surprise me at all to see Andrew Luck go on the road and take care of business. I mean, this guy just knows how to win. This team is playing. They have a purpose behind what they're doing, and they just play as a team, Trey. I wouldn't be shocked, but I'm going to pick the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal with this game. I mean, the Colts have been a different team on the road. I mean, Andrew Luck has been insane at home, 6-1. They've won 3 straight, though. I mean, this is another team that's gotten quietly hot. Like, people don't realize that they've, you know, won 3 straight, and they've beaten – you know, it's just surprising what they've done. But the Texans, I do think this is going to be a super razor-thin game because the Texans are coming off that loss to the Patriots. are going to have some issues. I think Andrew Luck's going to throw some picks, though. I mean, he's still a learning quarterback. He's still a rookie. And I think he's going to turn the ball over a little bit. You know, the Texans defense still is pretty good. I mean, you know, while Andrew Luck is a great quarterback, he's not Tom Brady precise, and he can't read a defense like Tom Brady can yet. So I just think that the Houston Texans will win this game, probably something like, I'd say 23-20.
So what do you think the point spread is on this game?
2.5, Houston.
Nope. It's 8. Oh. Houston favored 8 points.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
It started out at 9.5, and it's dropped. I mean, the extra day to, you know, rest for Indy compared to Houston could come into play. You know, Houston had to go on the road, and then they came back. I think it's going to be just a little closer than that. I think it'll be right around 8 points. I think that's a perfect line, would be about 7.5. So I could see Houston winning by 8. So let's turn it over to Corey Bird. Corey, who are you picking in this game and why?
I'm going with Houston big.
Okay. Why's that?
I think Houston just got embarrassed on national television. And when the Packers embarrassed them on Sunday night at home, they came back and beat Baltimore by 30. I see somewhere along their lines that I think Houston wins by at least 3 touchdowns in this game.
Okay. I like that. I mean, I can see that happening. And tell me about Andrew Luck in this game. I mean, how is he going to play? Or is it just the team in general, the Colts, struggling?
I think Andrew Luck will play well because the Houston secondary suspect, to say the least. But I think he would have a game like he did against the Patriots, and it'll be all over for him. I think he throws at least 3 interceptions and gets sacked like 3 times by J.J. Watt.
Okay, well. Trey, I mean, that's an interesting prediction, and looking in the chat room, let's see what everybody's saying. Lacey's saying she likes Houston, coming back from the slaughter. You know, Corey said Houston. Stephen Nall, Houston, 24-17. So most people are picking Houston. And Trey, who are you picking again?
Yeah, I'm going with Houston. And, yeah, this is also really important for 2 reasons. I mean, Houston plays Indianapolis twice in the next 3 games. I mean, this is one of those weird scheduling things this year. So, I mean, Indy plays Houston at Houston, at Kansas City, and then they're back at home against Houston. So, if Indy did win this game, this would be a ginormous shift in this division because then, oh, by the way, the Texans have to come to Houston the final game of the season. I mean, the Texans have to come to Indianapolis the final game of the season. So, if Indy did get them on the road, Tarvin, man, Andrew Luck is in shape to win this division, possibly.
That would be crazy. I mean, I didn't even think Indianapolis would win probably 5 games, and look at how great they're doing right now. I mean, the best story in the NFL this year, and it's just going to be exciting to watch. I'll be pulling for Andrew Luck and company in this game. Even though I have Houston predicted preseason in the Super Bowl, I'm still going to go with the Colts just pulling for them. So if that's number 2, a good game, tell us. I bet number 1 is going to be a great one.
Well, number 1 is the Sunday night football game. It's the 49ers at 9-3-1 against the Patriots, who are at home 10-3. The 49ers are still kind of quietly one of the favorites for the NFC, and, of course, the Patriots now looking like they could be a favorite in the AFC. So, you know, is this a possible Super Bowl matchup, Tarvin?
I don't think so, and I'm going to tell you something. Going on the road a night game, can Colin Kaepernick actually beat Tom Brady? I mean, think about that. Just sit back and look at it. You put those 2 quarterbacks against each other. I mean, any way Colin Kaepernick could out-duel Tom Brady on the road, I say no. And I think San Francisco's defense is good, Trey, but I don't think it can hold up for 4 quarters against that Tom Brady just dissects you every play. I mean, he just kills these defenses, especially ones like San Francisco. I just don't see them being able to stop Tom Brady and those weapons, Trey.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, Tom Brady, obviously, they've been very good at home. They're 5-1 at home. But if you look at the NFC, and they, you know, this is the year that they played the West. They played the NFC West, and they're 1-2 against the West. They beat St. Louis. They lost to Arizona and Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. So, you know, this is one of those interesting little dynamics that, you know, if for some reason, does Tom Brady not fare well against this division? I don't know. But, you know, I like the fact that this is at home for the Patriots. Colin Kaepernick hasn't looked that great passing the ball. He's been great with his legs, had a great 50-yard run last week. But, you know, this is a guy who is going to get some looks defensively that he probably hasn't seen from the Patriots, because one of the things that, you know, Belichick does really well is exploit quarterbacks that he's facing the first time. So I think Kaepernick's going to struggle in this game. Frisco's been okay on the road. You know, they're 4-2. They're 3-0 against the AFC East. So, I mean, Frisco's done really well against this division. So you have that kind of statistic going on. So Frisco absolutely has a shot in this game. But I like the fact that Tom Brady looks like he's got it going on right now. All those problems we're talking about with the NFC and this division were all earlier in the year. Patriots have won 7 in a row, and I just don't see the 49ers really holding them up. I think Tom Brady's, you know, focused on the playoffs right now and getting home field advantage himself. So I think the Patriots win this game.
So, Trey, in the playoffs, I'm playing you in fantasy. Are we playing each other this week, or is it going to be next week in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, we'd have to meet in the Super Bowl.
Okay, so, guys, next week Trey and I will probably be in the Super Bowl, so this will be an intense show, right?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be. I'm going to be all over the
But tell me about this Niners team, man. Like, I mean, Harbaugh's a great coach and everything, but what about the quarterback change? I mean, at this time of the season, what was it really necessary?
Well, you know, time will tell, because, you know, Alex Smith, I mean, I think he was 16 for his last 18 in the game before he got hurt. Again, he got hurt. I mean, Kaepernick has a lot to him. He's clearly a quick quarterback. He can run in ways that Alex Smith can't. I think a lot of people thought that Alex Smith wasn't a quarterback who could actually win a big game, who could, if the ball had to be in his hands, he was going to be the quarterback who could, you know, throw for 350 yards. I don't know that we ever saw him get the chance to do that. So maybe Harbaugh in practice just wasn't seeing what he wanted, or, you know, through the time that, you know, he's coached Alex Smith. I mean, it's not like he's coached him just for a few games. He's had Alex Smith for a couple years now. Yeah, I don't know, Tarvin. It's going to be interesting to see what Kaepernick does. I mean, the 49ers are going to make the playoffs. So we'll have to see if Kaepernick, you know, when he gets in these pressure situations. And this Sunday night game is kind of a test for what I think he'll do in the playoffs. If he comes out and is composed and plays well against a very good Belichick defense, who are going to throw some schemes at him, some blitzes at him, some different coverage changes that he may not seen, if Kaepernick can adjust to that on the road on a night game in Foxborough, then, you know, maybe he made the right decision. But, you know, if Kaepernick goes out and struggles in this game, then, you know, maybe that was the wrong decision.
Yeah, if I'm Alex Smith, I'll never play it down in San Francisco again. So, Corey, tell us what you think about this game and why, bud.
I'm going with the 49ers.
Oh, man, that's a bold pick. Bold pick.
I just love their defense. And I understand Brady's got all these weapons and whatnot, but when in those three losses he had this year, they have gotten pressure on Brady. And 49ers can get pressure like no other in the NFL on Brady, on anybody.
Yeah. Hey, Trey, I love the way Corey tells us his predictions. Like, he's going to stick it in their face and slap us with that pick. I love it, Corey.
Yeah. Well, hey, Corey, what's your other picks that we missed out on? You know, what do you got for the Steelers-Cowboys game?
I'm going with the Steelers. Dick LeBeau is really upset right now because of the way his defense played. And I don't think Dick LeBeau will have two bad defensive games in a row. I like the Steelers. Huge in this game.
All right. How about the Giants and Falcons?
I'm going with the Giants.
All right, what about the Packers and Bears?
I'm going with the Packers.
All right, a lot of road teams from Corey, Tarvin.
Just that, I mean, just the confidence there shows me that, Corey, you'll probably be at the bottom of the list this week in the pick. So enjoy your reign at the top a couple of weeks ago, man. But anyway, thanks for coming on. Congratulations on winning the pick'em a couple of weeks ago. I'm glad you got to come on and make your picks. So just remember, Trey,
to pick. Tell him to hold on.
Yeah,
he's at two bowls to pick.
I've got him on. He's on hold.
All right, okay.
The bowl game, man, that's not even considered a bowl. When you say the potato bowl and the Papa John's Bowl. I mean, are these really bowls, Trey, that you really put on the list? Seriously.
Well, we got college football coming up, Tarvin, and we love college football, and this is what we have. We have two college football games this week. Let's be happy about that.
I'm happy, man. I'm happy. I'm not happy that my team's 3-9, not going to a bowl, but I did get my crystal with cheese tray, and I'm going to the Orange Bowl.
Well,
I'm not talking about bad Notre Dame. I'm talking about Florida State.
There you go.
All right. Well, this game, Trey, the first game, what is that, the Nevada-Arizona game?
Yeah, this is the New Mexico Bowl, and it's in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Man, this is going to be a high-scoring game, man. Neither one of these teams know the meaning of defense, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
So who do you got?
Well, Tarvin, you know, looking at this game, you know, and, you know, trying to surmise what Nevada's done this year, they're 7-5, and so is Arizona. This is, you know, we can officially start, you know, kicking off, you know, the conference championship, so to speak, with this game. This is the first major conference playing in a game. So it's Arizona. You know, can the Pac-12 get off to a 1-0 start? I think they will. Nevada hasn't really played anyone well. I mean, they won at California their first game. They lost to a really bad South Florida game to team at home. Other than that, there's really not a good barometer that you saw from Nevada. They lost, I think, 3 of their last 4 games, or maybe even 4 of their last 5, which shows me they're kind of in the wrong direction for the bowl. You know, Arizona lost their last game to a rival, Arizona State. Other than that, they'd won 2. They beat Colorado and Utah. Really doesn't tell us anything. But, you know, Arizona, you know, at least they have a quality win against Oklahoma State this year. So because of that, Tarvin, I give Arizona the nod here. You're right. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. It's going to be close because neither one of these teams is all that great. But I think I'm going to go with the Pac-12, a little bit better competition that Arizona's played this year. And Arizona gets the win.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Arizona, too. And, man, just looking at the rushing yards, both of these teams, you know, run the ball well. I think Nevada's 7th in the nation at 260 yards a game. Arizona is at 15th with 230. But neither team can tackle or stop the run. So, Trey, the over-under in this game is 75.5. And honestly, it'll be over that before the third quarter is over. Trust me. I mean, when you can't stop the run and your defense is giving up 32 points a game, both of them are, I think. I mean, this is going to be a long day. So if you have time Saturday, set 5 hours aside because you're going to need it. It's going to be a very entertaining bowl. I like Arizona probably by 3 touchdowns in this game.
Looks like the chat room agrees with us. I see a lot of Arizona love. Yep, looks like Arizona. Jonathan tells us that Kadeem Carey runs hard. So, I think, you know, Pac-12 gets off to a 1-0 start. What's the spread on this game, Tarvin?
It is 10. Arizona's favored 10, and I'm excited to see who Corey picks in this game. Corey?
Both teams have been inconsistent late in the season, but Arizona is going to win this game because they're going to make a couple big plays on defense. Who knew? They had one.
Well, that's an interesting talking about defense, Trey, with those two. Corey, very good pick, and I think everybody's with you. And, Corey, stay on, and we'll get to this next game, buddy. And see, that's the benefit of winning the pick 'em. You get to pick online with us. This is fun. So, Trey, give me something, an interesting, maybe not stat, but something Nevada has to do in order to win this game.
Well, I think 4 turnovers is the clear thing, Todd. I mean, when you play a game like this in Arizona, they're prone to mistakes. So if Nevada forces Arizona to make mistakes, they're absolutely going to have a shot at this game because Arizona is not the kind of team that's just going to go on this field and just wipe them off. I mean, so Nevada forces some turnovers, gets up early. I mean, you know, Arizona's not a team that may have the fortitude to come back from a big, you know, being down early. So, you know, if Nevada can get on them early, Tarvin, they can win this game.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you never know. Anytime you can't play defense and you can play offense, you have a shot. I mean, anything can happen in a game like this when two teams can't play defense but they're so high-powered. So it'll be a fun first game, but that takes us to the 4:30 afternoon game. Trey, Utah State and Toledo. Anything exciting here?
Holy Toledo. Well, you know, what's crazy about this game is Utah State's actually ranked. They're 10-2 and ranked number 22 in the nation, and Toledo's 9-3. I don't know that they should be ranked, but, you know, looking at Toledo, Tarvin, and they had a close loss to Arizona to start the season off, and really they haven't played outside of the MAC. I mean, they beat the one in the win that's kind of interesting. They beat Cincinnati by 6 at home. So Toledo, you know, not much in the way of, you know, what we can say, hey, this team might be a little better than we think they are. But, you know, you look at the Aggies, Tarvin, this is actually a team that plays defense. I mean, they're 34th and 13th against pass and rush. And granted, they're in the WAC, but, I mean, at least they know they know what defense is, which is something in the WAC.
Yeah, I mean, you're in the WAC and you're giving up only 15 points a game. That's very good. And Utah State 6-0 at home, 4-2 on the road, which really doesn't mean anything. But, I mean, I like Utah State because of Keaton, the quarterback. He can actually make plays with his arm and his legs. They run the football well. They play hard defense, and they're well coached. So this spells disaster for Toledo. I mean, Kerwin Williams, you know, his last 6 games, he's averaged like 8 yards per carry, and this is his last game, you know, at Utah State. So these guys are putting out NFL talent now. So any chance that Toledo has to pull the shocker here? It's a 10-point spread, I believe, 10 or 10 and a half.
Yeah, I think there's a chance. But, Tarvin, I mean, Utah State, I mean, they lost by 2 at Wisconsin this year. They held BYU to 6 points in a 3-6 game. I mean, they have actually legitimately played some defense this year. And I just think they're going to shut down Toledo. I think this could be a 23-3 type of game. I think Toledo is going to be in trouble in this game.
Yeah, let's see. Utah State, Stephen Knowles picking Utah State, Lacey Key, Utah State, Jason Minson picking the WAC in this one. So, I mean, this is an interesting game here. And I don't know, Utah State is deserving of that ranking, Trey. I think 10-2 and doing what they have and playing the close games, I like Utah State. Next year, they're just going to be better. I think this coach at Utah State, Trey, tell me why the coach at Utah State hasn't been coming up in these coaching conversations.
Well, you know, that's kind of an interesting topic. I mean, you know, I think he's going to be, since he didn't get sort of picked this year, I mean, I think Utah State has another decent year. You're going to see his name come up quite a bit. I mean, this is a, you know, a defensive mind in the WAC. It just doesn't make sense, you know, when you think about it. But, I mean, you know, they ran the WAC 6-0 this year. So I think Utah State deserves a little credit. I mean, the Aggies have been pretty good.
You remember last year when they came into Auburn, you know, Chucky Keaton as a freshman and actually had Auburn beat down for almost 4 quarters. I mean, it wasn't a fluke. I mean, it was actually a team that was better at the time and a well-coached team. So let's see what Corey has to say. I'm interested.
I'm going with Utah State on this one.
Okay, why is that?
They have a good offense. Their defense is solid. They got great coaching. I'm going with Utah State big, and it wouldn't surprise me if they shut out Toledo.
Whoa, shutout. Yeah. A bowl game, Trey. That's bold.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's obviously hard to do. You don't see a lot of bowl shutouts. But, I mean, you know, Toledo, I think he's right. I mean, I think it's going to be I don't think Toledo's going to score a whole lot.
Yeah. Well, Corey, I just want to thank you, man, for coming on and joining us and making these picks. You won the pick 'em. And so everybody out there listening, win the pick 'em. You get to come on and make the picks. And Corey, you've done a great job tonight, man. And join us Sunday night. We'll be on at 9 p.m. Eastern. And take care. Have a great weekend. All right, Trey, man. It looks like everybody's picking Utah State. And, man, I'm ready for bowl season. And this is just a teaser, you know, looking at these two. So tell me, how long is it going to be before bowl season actually cranks up and gets exciting? Are we going to have to wait till, what, next week?
Yeah, next week we're going to get a lot more, you know, the games will, you know, when we look at the games Wednesday to Wednesday, there's going to be a lot more games that will hit next week. We'll start hitting in some of the bigger teams, some of the SEC schools, some of the more ranked opponents. I mean, you know, the next wave of bowls will be pretty good. I mean, you get the Poinsettia Bowl, which starts the 20th, and then, of course, you know, the next 10 days after the 20th get real, real heavy for bowls.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to break all these games down, and we're going to start next week or Sunday night, Trey, breaking down these big bowl games and and talking a lot of college football. I'm excited. But hey, here's a funny story off the subject of football right now. But there's a basketball game in Indiana. I believe it was Indiana. Am I wrong? Indianapolis, a girls' high school game, 107-2. Now, I mean, I looked at that again. How do you beat a team 107-2?
Well, I mean, I have no idea how that happens. I mean, I heard the coach talking, though, and he said that he played every single person on his team. So he was playing like the staffers, I think, and they were still putting up points against this team. So, I mean, can't blame the coach. I mean, he apparently pulled the starters pretty early, and even the backups were scoring.
I mean, I remember when I was 18 years old, and we played in a rec game, just a bunch of buddies. We went down to Mobile and played. We got beat 103-39, I believe. And that felt like total embarrassment, getting kicked in the teeth. But it wasn't 107-2. I mean, this coach could have pulled off a little bit. I would have probably, if I was the other coach, I would have probably said, look, we're getting out of here. I mean, I'm not going to break a record and be embarrassed. There's a time, I think, when you got to take your kids off the court, Trey.
Well, I kind of wonder if they were running the coffin corner. I mean, they should have been running the four corner offense. I mean, I don't know if they were or not, but yeah, I mean, there's really no sportsmanship on a 107-2 game.
Well, the team is 0-6, lost 23 straight games. The coach is ticked off, but the coach for the winning team said that Arlington was running an aggressive 2-3 zone. So, I mean, if you're playing aggressive defense on someone, you really can't stall. You're having to pass the ball, get it out of your hands. And I don't know, man. I mean, you hit a free throw in the third quarter, the free throw in the fourth, or second and third, I'm sorry. I mean, that's just terrible, man. I mean, I would really, literally pull my team out of ever playing again if we got beat 107-2.
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, it takes 107-2 game to get, you know, for our first ever mention of women's high school basketball. So, you know, I guess kudos for that, right?
I mean, the fact is, if my name was associated, it said first-year coach Brian Tarvin got beat 107-2. I don't know, man. That is terrible, man. But I've been kicked bad, but it wasn't that bad, 105 points. I mean, I just can't get over that. I mean, how does the girls' team score 100 points anyway? Like, you don't see – when I watch high school girls basketball, I've coached high school girls basketball. You don't score 100 points. You score in the 40s. And that's a high-scoring affair. So, I don't know, man. Either this team just needs to rethink, you know, what they're doing. But do you think a mercy rule should come into play?
I think so. In high school, absolutely. Absolutely, there should be a mercy rule. I mean, but, you know, in Indiana, Tarvin, they take basketball seriously no matter who's playing on the court. I mean, you'd have a pickup game in Indiana, and it's going to get intense.
Yeah, that was just something that that made me scratch my head, man. And I feel bad for that team having to go through that. But let's hit to the NFL still. Staying on here, what do you think about this bounty gate going on, Trey? Tell us about it.
Well, for those of you who didn't hear, I mean, Paul Tagliavu basically did what we call the whole split them down the middle. When it, you know, I've seen a lot of judges do this where they'll split and sort of the baby down the middle between both sides. And that's really what he did. I mean, he said that the findings of fact basically from, you know, Goodell were valid and good, that players could have been suspended and all this kind of stuff. And then he basically said no suspensions anymore. He took away all player discipline. You know, the coach's discipline still stays, but basically blamed the entire affair on a coaching atmosphere and said that, you know, the players don't deserve discipline, but even though he kind of said they could have deserved discipline. So, you know, Tagliabue kind of, I think he did the NFL a little bit of favor by doing that, because it's going to take a defamation suit from Jonathan Vilma, and that's going to hurt him a lot. But, you know, all players, no suspensions, Tarvin. I mean, you know, they have to feel a little bit vindicated for these players.
Yeah, but, I mean, you can't go back and take back what was done. I mean, that's the only thing, and I think that's what Vilma's trying to do. Trey, do you think Vilma knows beyond a shadow of a doubt? It looks like to me that he knows nothing he did was wrong, and I think – or either he knows that Goodell's bluffing. So which one is it?
Well, you know, I think when it comes down to Velma, you know, I think his problem is what I would be have a problem with is the fact that the NFL never revealed what they were going off of. And after months and months and months and months and months of basically saying, you know, we have all this stuff, they didn't have anything. They had, you know, one signed statement that was signed, you know, right before the hearing. So, you know, for Velma's, you know, he's like, hey, man, when did Greg Williams become a credible guy? And, you know, how come he signed a statement the day before our hearing when you said you had this for months? So, you know, you got to wonder about the NFL and the way they run things when they're kind of doing things like that. I mean, you know, and in this country, we demand to see evidence for when you're going to accuse somebody of something, even if it's the NFL, even if it's, you know, administrative. And we don't handle things behind closed doors when it comes to discipline and taking away people's rights and that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, basically you told these guys they couldn't play football, which is their profession, and you didn't give them any evidence of that. You know, and it turns out, you know, now that, you know, we've been at this for months and months, Tarvin, that these guys all should have been playing the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go back and change it, and I'm with you. I think if I was Velma, I would do the same thing. But if I was guilty, though, I don't know if I would want to call out Goodell and make him come, because what's going to happen when he comes out and says, I have this, 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 and this on you, Velma? What is he going to say? Well, it's okay, thanks. You know, I just think it's dangerous. If Velma's trying to clear his name, but I would be careful, because Goodell probably had something incriminating, or he wouldn't have suspended Velma that long.
Yeah, I mean, you got to wonder what he was going off of, because we still haven't seen it.
Yeah, exactly, and I just don't understand. Tell me about the coach of the Saints. Tell me what you think about Sean Payton. Is he going to be around? Is he going to get his suspension lifted too?
No, absolutely not. Sean Payton's gone for the year, and there's nothing about any of the coaches changed. Sean Payton, I guess procedurally, Sean Payton didn't even appeal his suspension, so, I mean, he didn't even ask for it to be reviewed. But Sean Payton has no shot to coach in the NFL this year. It won't happen. You know, if you're Sean Payton, you're still looking towards the next year, and you're looking, his contract is still voided. So, you know, Sean Payton will be a free coach to sign wherever he wants next year. So, you know, let the sweepstakes for Sean Payton begin, because I think there's going to be a lot of people in the NFL clamoring to have Sean Payton be their coach next year.
And Sonia in the chat room says Gruden wants Payton's job bad. So do you see John Gruden as the coach of the Saints?
I think Sean Payton is still back at the Saints. I mean, one of the things that is the X factor here is Sean Payton is very close to Saints ownership. I know I've talked about this before, but the Saints ownership really loves Sean Payton. He actually gets along very well with them. He's got a lot of control, which is what he likes. I mean, it's going to take a very special circumstance for them to part ways with Sean Payton. Because of the ownership. And the ownership likes Sean Payton even after all this, and they feel like, you know, Sean Payton is the reason they were winning, and now they see what's happening on the field without him this year, and they're not going to make the playoffs. So I think the ownership is going to want to bring him back pretty strong. But, you know, there's Dallas and Jerry Jones, who I think are going to really go after Sean Payton as well. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of this coming on the offseason as soon as Sean Payton's able to talk about, you know, signing contracts.
Okay, I'm interested to see how all this shakes out, but every day I turn on the TV or read something, I see Goodell's name tied to it. Now he's wanting, first of all, last week I didn't get to mention this, Trey, but Goodell's trying to eliminate kickoffs in the NFL, which, you know, it'll be the same in college. Man, what are your thoughts on this, what he's trying to do to change the game of football?
I hate it. I hate what Goodell is doing. Kickoff, he's already made one of the most exciting plays in football become just almost pedantic. I mean, you hardly get anything exciting happen in the kickoff anymore because of what Goodell's done. He's been saying it's all on player safety, but none of the players have actually come out and supported this. I mean, in fact, a lot of players are coming out and saying, hey, we don't want this to go away. We didn't like what you did the first time. Why are you taking away this excitement in the game? Why are you taking away some of these players' specialties? I mean, you have some of these players whose existence is returning kicks. I mean, you're going to basically do away with the job, Tarvin, in the NFL. And the players' union probably is not going to like that either. So, you know, I just don't like it. I don't like Goodell messing around with the fact that you're taking away one of the more exciting plays. I just hate the move, and I hope it doesn't go through.
He's trying to turn the NFL into the lingerie football league almost. I mean, this is – I just wonder, if you're going to take away – I'll just say take away a third of football, which is special teams, really. So are you gonna cut the price of the tickets you charge by 33%? Are you gonna reduce your season ticket prices? Are you gonna reduce your concessions? I mean, I don't see a good trade off here. I mean, these guys exactly, Trey. There's some specialties that these guys know that, hey, all I can do is return kicks, but you know what? I can provide for my wife and kid, or I can have a future for my family. And I know concussions are out there. They're going to be out there regardless of kickoffs or not. But they did have a statistic, Trey, that showed concussions have been down, you know, ever since, you know, the kickoffs have been, you know, moved up a little bit. But I just look at what a concussion was defined as. So now if you have a little headache maybe or you're sensitive to light, you have a concussion. So I think they're going about this the wrong way. You can't change the game of football in this way. I think, and you know, how long is it going to be before it goes to actual being in the college game, Trey, if it happens in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's the concern as well, is, you know, what kind of creep do you get, you know, when it comes down to changing this stuff. But, you know, one of the things that it concerns me about this, and I heard this comment from one of the kick returners, I can't remember who it was this week, who said, you know, you're turning the NFL into flag football. Why don't you just make it flag football? So if, you know, if the players aren't for this, why would, you know, Goodell be this strong for it? I mean, obviously the NFL has some responsibility for player safety, but, you know, the players play the game, they want to play the game, they want to play it the way it's supposed to be played. And I think when you start taking away some of this excitement, some of what we all know and love is part of the game, is, you know, special teams is always a fun thing to watch because, you know, that's when a lot of the huge plays in the NFL and college happen. They've already taken some of that away, and I just think they're going to start to erode what we all know is the sort of essence of the game.
Yeah, I just really, really think Goodell needs to go, and I think, you know, with the ruling that just came out, and if Goodell gets even more bad publicity put on him, Trey, how are they going to get rid of this guy? Because you know all the owners love Goodell. He's just their voice, really. So I don't know how they're going to get rid of him, but this is terrible. And also another rule that he's trying to bring in, another change, he's going to bring, I think, 14 to 16 teams in the playoffs now. How many is out there now, 12?
Yeah, 12.
So what do you think about adding that many more playoff teams? That's half the league in the playoffs.
Well, you know, the NFL actually, what I actually like the balance the NFL has now with 12 teams, because a lot of times, I mean, you have teams that there's a borderline. You know, you don't want to get 8-8 teams in the playoffs a lot. I mean, that's kind of where, you know, the playoffs are, and you certainly don't want to have a season where a 7-9 team get in the playoffs, where you have that many teams for the NFL able to get in the playoffs. I mean, certainly there are years like right now in the NFC where you have a lot of really good teams who, you know, and some of those teams might get left out. But I think the NFL has struck a pretty good balance right now with 12. I just, you know, if you go too far over this, Tarvin, I start to worry about some pretty marginal teams getting in the playoffs. I mean, I don't want to see 7-9 teams make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think having that many is going to be too much. I think you start diluting it. It's just like college football to me. The more teams, the more boring it is. And, you know, it's like at work. It's like the NFL is not college, though. Like your boss coming up and saying, hey, well, we're going to add 2 more weeks of time to your salary. You know, instead of working 40 hours a week, you're going to work 44 hours a week, and you're going to get paid the same thing, which it happens a lot. But these players in the union are not going to go for that.
Yeah, and, you know, Tarvin, you know, back to my point, you know, like for the NFC this year, you could easily have more playoff teams that are actually really good. The AFC, you don't. I mean, you could possibly have a 7-9 Jets team make the playoffs under these new rules if they were to be implemented. I don't like that. I don't think this happens, Tarvin, without going away from 16-game schedule.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just wish Goodell would let football be football right now. I mean, we're trying to make so many drastic changes because if you start, you know, doing too much, these fans are going to start boycotting the game, I'm telling you. They're not going to pay these prices. I mean, it's outrageous to go to an NFL game right now just as it is. So you're going to anger the fans, Trey. You're going to raise prices on tickets. So it's just not working out. So let's see what the chat room says. Any final thoughts on this subject here? I'm pretty sure. If you want to call in, 646-716-5564, and welcome Jason Dark to the chat room as well. So Jason's a first-timer. Welcome to the show. Trent, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I think this is going to interest Sonya a lot, Tarvin, and I'm interested in what you think. AJ McCarron has announced that he's coming back to Bama. So what do you think about AJ McCarron coming back for another year?
Well, I mean, I really didn't think he would leave because I just don't think he would be drafted high enough at the moment in the NFL. He must have talked to the right people and said, look, AJ, you're not going to be a top five pick or top five round pick, I'm thinking, because I think Saban probably told him as well, so, hey, stay with me one more season and we'll see if we can increase your stock. Because still, Alabama, if you still look at Alabama and the perception, Nick Saban, defense, and running the football. So even though A.J. McCarron's had a great season, I mean, he's still overshadowed by the rest of those I just mentioned.
Yeah, and, you know, people in the chat room brought up the point I was going to make, and I don't know that McCarron would have been drafted. It would have been like a sixth or seventh rounder. You know, why leave college? I mean, you know, McCarron needs to get it. I think he understands that, you know, pro football might not be in his future, so he's going to want to stay, get that degree, get all the fame and glory he can. He's on a very good football team, obviously. He's got a good situation. I think that his only shot is to, you know, maybe get a little bit better in college, to hope he can get drafted if that's what he wants to do. But, you know, this is going to be, for McCarron, not a shocker that he is coming back, because, I mean, this is not a guy who had any sort of draft stock to him at all.
I think they're losing two or three linemen off that big offensive line, so that is interesting. So Sonya's on the line now. Sonya Minson from the ATL. What's up, Sonya?
Hey, guys.
Hey,
what's going on, Trey?
How you doing?
I'm fine. No, AJ knows what's up. AJ wants three rings. He's not stupid. He just needs to stay, learn a little bit more, become a better game manager, you know, perhaps maybe go mid-round next draft season, but it would make no sense for him to go.
Yeah, but he does have a big arm, Sonya. AJ, you know, working on that, he does have a big arm that probably intrigues some of these NFL owners.
That's right. Well, that's the point. It's like when you look at AJ and you look at the way he manages the game, and when you look at some of the records for the Bama quarterbacks and you see that AJ's broken a lot of those. He's actually a better quarterback than GMAC was. You know, it's like I said, you know, he's just going to stay another year, get his degree. If he gets drafted by a team that's looking for somebody to build their quarterback roster, then he'll go. But he's just, it's one of those things where you got to realize that not every player is going to jump to the NFL trying to make that money. Some people, you know, they want to stay. They want to build. They want to learn more. They want to get better so they can up their draft stock. Now, I'm not saying that after he stays another year, just say he does win another national championship, he gets his three rings. That's not saying he's going to go first round then, you know, but at least that'll up his stock and he'll be a better fit for a team that's looking for a good game manager. And when you look at GMAC, I mean, he didn't go until ninth round when he was drafted. And look at what he's doing with the Jets. Now, yeah, he's back up behind Sanchez and Tebow, but preseason, he got their first touchdown preseason, which Sanchez and Tebow could not do. And just recently, the past about 2 weeks ago, I think it was, he got their first touchdown and won that game. So, you know, people will look at these quarterbacks. Sometimes you need a game manager. You don't need that name or that media hype person.
That's a good point, Sonya. And you know, some of the intangibles people overlook is the ability to lead. And McElroy, A.J. McCarron both have that ability, you know, to – they're game managers, but the players play hard for those guys and they believe in them. So I think AJ one more year is a smart move. I think he will have a chance. He'll be favored to win his third ring if he gets past Notre Dame this in January. So that's a great point. What about Fluker? Big offensive line.
Oh, no, he should have won. And just when I just got corrected, I'm sorry. AJ GMAC was ninth pick in the last round. Sorry about that, Jonathan. I see he's telling me in the chat room he's correcting me.
Tarvin, AJ just wants another crack at Auburn.
I hope he gets it because we're going to be a lot better this year.
But anyway, wait, hold on, because I'm looking at the chat. I'm looking at Stephen Nault. He's like, he's been clipboard boy. Come on, whoa, man. Yeah, clipboard boy that actually won you guys a game, so let's not trip. But anyway, back to Fluker. I don't think Fluker's ready. I think he needs another year. But, hey, it's his decision. You know, he has to go and get the money while he can. Because of his size and what he can do, you know, somebody will pick him up.
Well, that's a good point. So, the guys, you going to call in Sunday night and listen when we go over these bowl games?
Of course.
Great.
You know that.
Well, I'm going to take another caller. Sonia, you better get to feeling better so you can have
a good
weekend.
I'm going to try, babe. I promise. I got to feel better so I can join you guys on Sunday.
All right. Jason, you doing okay?
Yeah. Hey, Tarvin, how many yards is Peterson going to rush for against those Rams?
It might be 400, Jason.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think run 200. For 200 plus.
Mm-hmm. I think he'll run for 200. What about you, Trey?
Not so fast. The Rams actually are decent against the run, Tarvin. I think they're going to hold him below .150.
He's not even going to get 100?
No, I think he'll get maybe 100, 110.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, Jason, buddy, thanks for calling in, and we'll see you Sunday night. And stay in the chat room. We love having you guys on the show. And we're going to go to the 240 area code. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
It's Jason.
Hey, Jason, where are you from?
Calling from Temple Hills, Maryland.
Where, I'm sorry?
Temple Hills, Maryland.
Okay, what's up tonight?
I've been looking how the playoff race has been shaken up in the NFL, and pretty much this is where most of the teams who are pretty much out of the playoff race start looking into the draft and either probably draft or maybe trying to do some trades and everything. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of teams who should be in need to look for that quarterback they're going to need. And
okay.
I believe Arizona and Kansas City, they have a best shot of trying to get a quarterback out of the draft, because for Arizona, they haven't had a good quarterback since Kurt Warner, and Kansas City hasn't had a good quarterback since, I would say, Trent Green.
Maybe Joe Montana.
Okay. Well, Trey, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, good point. I mean, I don't know the Kansas City's had a good quarterback since Joe Montana was there. I mean, they've been terrible at quarterback. Matt Calhoun clearly isn't the answer at all. He's part of the problem. I think both Arizona and the fact that Kevin Kolb just got put on the injured reserve, and I think Kevin Kolb is probably their best chance to have a good quarterback, because one thing is for sure. I mean, I told you at the beginning of the year that Skelton was awful. Everybody was like, oh, he moves outside the pocket well. Well, Skelton makes terrible decisions. He's got fancy feet in the pocket. And then they started Ryan Lindley, who I think Wisenhunt is just absolutely desperate, hoping that this whole rookie fiasco we're seeing in the NFL would somehow, some way find themselves to Ryan Lindley. Well, Ryan Lindley's terrible too. So, you know, this shows you that every rookie quarterback's not going to be successful, because Lindley is the huge asterisk behind that one.
Yeah, thanks for the call. We really appreciate it. We're getting a lot of new callers and listeners. We really appreciate you guys listening in. So, Trey, what are some of these teams? How do you prevent, or I guess like Carolina, you know, they could have easily tanked against Atlanta last week and got that better draft pick, you know, maybe. So what's going on with Carolina? Do you think they're trying to play for pride now, or do you think they're going to tank the rest of the game now that they finally beat Atlanta?
No, I mean, I think any time, I mean, you have a quarterback like Cam Newton, he doesn't want to lose. I mean, he gets a lot of criticism every time he loses a football game, you know, and I think a lot of these guys are playing for personal pride. I mean, you know, every time you get a win, you become greater in the NFL. So these guys want wins. I mean, there's no doubt about it that Cam Newton wants to win. He wants to silence critics. He wants to put up huge numbers. So, you know, I don't know. I don't buy into the tank theory, you know, because, I mean, a lot of these guys, they want to be named as superstars, and you don't get named as superstars when you're losing football games.
No, that's a good point. And, you know, Cam's been playing a lot better, you know, over the past 4 or 5 weeks. He looks like he's starting to develop. So you wouldn't want to tank right now and lose any kind of momentum that you're getting. So Trey, looking at the college coaches this year alone, give me two coaches possibly that could easily be in the NFL.
Well, I think Chip Kelly's obviously the name that comes to mind first. And the other name that's been drawing a lot of talk, and I don't think it's legitimate, Tarvin, I just don't, you know, is Sonia's boy from Alabama. I mean, what do you think? Is he going to Cleveland?
I mean, Nick Saban makes more money than probably all but six NFL coaches. So I don't know. I mean, if he gets complete ownership, maybe I could see him trying it out to see if he could be successful. But I don't think he goes to Dallas because of, you know, Jerry Jones and that ego. So I don't know, Trey. I mean, it could be interesting to see what happens. But I don't know. He is friends with the owner for Cleveland, but I just don't see it, man. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't either. I mean, Nick Saban tried the NFL once. I mean, I think he may go back eventually. It's possible, but you know, Cleveland. I just don't know. I just don't know that that's where the situation he wants to walk into. But you know, Tarvin, looking at you know, you talk about you're going back to the NFL. I mean, you just come out playing for pride. I mean, look what Nick Foles and the Eagles did to the Bucs. I mean, so I think that, you know, these teams are definitely playing for keeps here, and they're trying. I mean, because Philadelphia had nothing to play for, and they still beat the Bucs.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know, Saban, though, is his ego big enough, I mean, you know, to where he's going to want to win at the NFL level? I mean, do you think his pride's hurt because, I mean, he was unsuccessful in Miami just like Spurrier was at Washington?
Yeah, I mean, you got to wonder if that is a desire for him. I think, you know, obviously he'll go back, but, you know, what is – does he really need to go prove himself in the pros? I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's a great coach in college ranks, and he wasn't that great in pros at Miami. But, you know, that doesn't make him less of a great coach. I mean, he's still – not every coach can coach both levels. I mean, you know, that's just – it doesn't happen that way. I mean, Bobby Bowden never went to the pros, and he's still a great coach. I mean, so – you know, I don't know that he necessarily needs it from at least my perspective, but, you know, who knows what lies in the heart of Nick Saban and what he feels he needs to do to get vindicated as a coach. I mean, he's already earned it in college for sure.
Exactly. And Stephen Nall's in the chat room wanting us to give a shout-out to the group on Facebook. It's called Sports Talk. So go to Facebook. Search Sports Talk and join. I have to be joining the group. It's a great group. They're building it up. So I just wanted to give them a shout out right now. Doing a great job with their group, guys. So Trey, I'm going to say no on the Nick Saban. I'm going to say no. I think he's going to stay a couple more years at Alabama. And I think, you know, just imagine, just think about this. He wins this year, and just say he wins next year in the running. I mean, how many national championships could he win before he retires?
Well, I mean, why not break a record? I mean, if I'm Nick Saban, you know, and I'm looking at how many national championships, you know, can I win? I want more than anybody. Maybe when I have, you know, 10, maybe I stop worrying about it. But, you know, I mean, why not? I mean, that's why you coach. I mean, Nick Saban, you know, not 80. You know, I mean, a lot of these guys coach into their 80s. So there's nothing saying that Nick Saban can't put a lot of candles on top of this cake.
Yeah, and guys, I mean, this might scare some fans out there, what I'm about to say, but I have my final interview with the NCAA, Trey, so I'll be an investigator in the SEC for the NCAA. So, Sonia, Jason, y'all get ready, man. So here I come. Here I come, guys. I'm going to change this SEC. You know, I'm going to change some of these teams that are on top right now, and I'm gonna see what I can do. But Jason says, stop Auburn first, he says. Oh, man, but, yeah, I mean, I think Nick Saban can – I mean, honestly, Trey, I think they're going to beat Notre Dame, and we'll break that down later. But looking at it next year with a lot of returning starters coming back, I mean, and more depth, and probably another top two or three recruiting class, I don't know. I think he could win at least 5 or 6.
That's possible. You know, I want to – we'll talk about this later, but there's some guys in the chat room saying that this is going to be a weak NFL draft, and I disagree. I think it's going to be defensive heavy, but I think you're going to have a lot of defensive players who are going to make huge, huge marks in the NFL. I think it's weak when it comes to quarterbacks, but you know, there's going to be a lot of very talented offensive linemen and defensive players in this draft who are going to make huge impacts in the NFL this year or next year.
Yeah, and you know, we heard about Teo at Notre Dame, but guess who's projected number one overall in the draft, Trey?
Bjorn Warner from Florida State.
I thought it was Jarvis Jones. Or was he up? Or was that linebackers? He was number one. It might have been linebackers. So why is Jarvis Jones ranked ahead of the Notre Dame?
Well, I mean, obviously it's going to depend on inside and outside and where people say he's going to fit. But you know, Jarvis Jones is obviously a very talented guy who's going to fit in a lot of pro style defenses. But you know, inside linebackers, Tarvin, oftentimes don't get high draft boards. I mean, look at the guy for Carolina. You know, he didn't get drafted, top five, top ten, and he's leading the NFL in tackles right now as a rookie. You know, inside linebackers don't get a lot of love in the draft, but, you know, a lot of times they have a lot to say when it comes to tackles because, you know, sacks are sexy and tackles aren't. But, you know, I take the guy getting 120 tackles on my team any day of the week.
Definitely. And Trey, we're going to take a call real quick from the 727 area code. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this and where are you from?
Hey, guys, it's Jonathan from Key West.
What's up, Jonathan?
Well, I'm talking about the draft and how pathetically weak it is at the running back, receiver, and QB. EJ Manuel is in the top five for quarterbacks in the draft. NFL.com has him number three. I believe McShay has him at five. Do you guys really think EJ, just like Logan Thomas, do you really think they're going to be that great in the pro level just because they're 6'5", 240?
No. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, the quarterback position is going to be nothing like it was last year. But then that's kind of, I guess, the trap people fall into. You know, you have a great quarterback class, and then the next year we'll get quarterback crazy wanting that same lightning to strike twice. I mean, certainly Kansas City and Arizona are going to want it to, but you just don't have that. I mean, this is the last year's quarterback draft was an absolute, one shot at every so many years. It just doesn't happen. But this year coming up, Jonathan, I really think is going to be the year you see a lot of big guys on the line and a lot of linebackers and defensive players are going to be the ones making their marks in the NFL. And I think that's the cyclical nature of, the draft. You just don't have, elite quarterbacks coming in the groups and the bunches. There's a couple running backs who are going to be just fine in the NFL as well coming out this year. But, quarterback is certainly a super weak position this year.
Well, this year how teams like Kansas City, Arizona, possibly Jacksonville, let's see how long they want to play around with Chad Henne. But this reminds me of the strike year a couple of years ago, when Minnesota took Ponder in the first round and Tennessee jumped for Locker, and everybody was drafting quarterbacks so high, and everybody was jumping for them because they didn't know who would be on the free agent market. Everybody got scared, so everybody was using first-round picks. And I know Jason Minton hates Ponder, but if you think about it, Minnesota had to take Ponder because they didn't know if anybody was going to be on the market for him, and they didn't know how far Ponder would drop. Now does he probably wish they would have gotten Andy Dalton or Colin Kaepernick instead, of course. But, everybody kind of, it was like Carolina with Cam Newton. They didn't necessarily need Cam Newton. They wanted Cam Newton. We all know Carolina needs defensive help, especially on the D-line, D-tackle position. I mean, I thought, honestly, if they weren't going to take Newton, they'd take Fairley that year because they needed somebody. They still need somebody in the middle of that line to stop the run, because they can't do that. Looking at the draft this year, Manti Te'o, I think, I love Kuechly, Kuechly, my bad, Kuechly. I think he's a great player. He reminds me of a lot of Urlacher in the early years. And I do not think Te'o is better than him, but I think Te'o is a great prospect, and he's one of those guys you can't miss on, just like Warner. Guys like Warner don't come along very often. Yes, he has the same mold as J.J. Watt, but they don't come along very often. So you take the chances on those guys knowing they're going to pay off. Even if you don't need them now, you'll be able to utilize them in a couple of years. That's why this year's draft is going to be interesting to watch, Because you're going to see teams who are going to draft offensive linemen. They're going to draft D tackles like Star Lutelli from Utah. They're going to draft guys like that early, and they might not perform and be consistent right away. But in the long run, I think they will be great. And I mean great talents to have, like Luke Jocko, the left tackle from A&M, or Barrett Jones for Bama, wherever he plays in the NFL. I think he's going to excel magnificently. I think he's a top offensive line prospect. I don't know why everybody thinks Warmack and Jocko are. Jones can play every position. He's been an All-American at three.
Yep, that's some interesting stuff you brought up. So Jonathan, tell me about Jarvis Jones right here and Teo. When you compare those two, and you made a good point about the 3-4 in the chat room, who do you want more between those two? Who's the better fit?
All right, if I was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, actually, no, well, I'm pretty happy with our linebackers. If I was the Pittsburgh Steelers and I was looking, the Steelers have pretty much learned that they can plug anybody into the 3-4 and make it work, okay? They don't need immediate impact guys. Jason Worlds, they drafted him out of Virginia Tech, second round, I want to say 2010. All right, they've been sitting on him. They know sooner or later he's going to perform for them, but they don't need him right away. Manti Te'o is a guy you don't miss. He's a middle linebacker. Jarvis Jones will go to somebody like if Dallas trades up for him, because somebody who wants Jarvis Jones wants a flashy pick. They want to be like, hey, look who we got. Watch, he's going to get all these sacks, and he played for Georgia, and everybody knows Teo's story, and a lot of people think Teo's overrated because of the story, but Teo, he's a leader on the field, he makes great play. I mean, 7 interceptions for a linebacker, that's pretty impressive, and he racks up the tackle, he has a nose for the ball, he's a smart player, and I think he can pick up the system really quick. He's a guy. Jacksonville won't take him because they have Posnowski, but somebody like Oakland, I could see taking Teo, and I think Teo would be happy being on the West Coast since his family is out in Hawaii, and I think Oakland will make that jump for him.
Okay, well, man, we appreciate you calling in as always. Great job, and. Call us back Sunday night, man, when we break down some of these games.
Will do.
All right, take care.
You too.
All right. All right, Trey, you there? Let me make sure I didn't cut my co-host off. Trey, you there, bud?
Yeah, you muted me, buddy.
All right, sorry. We had a lot of people in the queue. So we're about to wrap this up, and I just want to remind people, they go to blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino, T-A-R-V-I-N-O, and follow our show, Weigh In Sports Talk. We'd love to have you. Twitter feed is at Weigh In Sports. So how's that Twitter account going, Trey? What do you see?
You're going well. You know, like I said, man, people don't realize Twitter's breaking a lot of the stories first. So if you're following us on Twitter, you know, we're breaking, you know, some of these coaching moves first, because some of the people we're following on Twitter are actually the folks, the ESPN, when they cite their sources for on SportsCenter, they're coming from Twitter, guys. Joe Schatt, who's breaking a lot of these college coaching moves, is getting his news from the exact same Twitter people we're getting ours from. So, you know, follow us on Twitter, and you're doing well. And, Carvin, I didn't know if you wanted to mention, you know, we got a new thing going on, you know, with another company, radio station, who's asking for us, MTR Radio, Carvin. People maybe want to check us out on there, too.
Yeah, we will be archived on them. We didn't test the live show tonight, but Sunday night we should be live at Blog Talk Radio and MTR Media or Radio.com. It's a great little outfit. It's not just sports talk. They have other shows, professional shows, great guests on the shows. And, man, it's an honor to be chosen like that. It's our chat room and all these callers that make this show, you know, what it is. And we appreciate everyone that calls in, joins us in the chat room, listens online. It's paying off, Trey.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, love the chat room. Thanks, Sonia and Jason, for calling in. Thanks, Corey, for calling in tonight. And, you know, Quinn, I think our other Jason who called in, you know, all thanks for the input. It's good talk, good chat.
Yep. So, I mean, we are still on Blog Talk Radio right now, but it just gives us MTR Media is worldwide too, and they're located in the Philadelphia, New York, New Jersey. You know, they have a lot there and a lot of overseas troops listen to this. So, I mean, it's huge, and hopefully we can get over 1 million listeners per month. That's our goal. So y'all keep listening, spread the word, and support us like Wednesday night, Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. We're on. So, Trey, any closing comments before we go?
We'll see you on Sunday, Tarvin.
Well, that's an in-depth closing there, Trey. I like that.
I know.
All right. Well, everybody, thanks again. And Sunday, like I said, we'll be here, and we'll be going over some college football and NFL. So until then, Trey, have a great week, and everybody, be safe.
All right, out here.